Chapter 39. In less than an hour, the travellers had reached the hilltops. Below them, the land took on a complete change. Gone was the arid, dusty wasteland, replaced with an expansive green valley. Not lush green like mossflower woodlands, but pleasant enough to appear refreshingly welcome to desert travellers. The whole area in the dip of the vale was dotted with brush, heather, grass and some stunted trees. Toobledum whipped off his hat and made a sweeping gesture.
There 'tis, one and all, Loam Edge!
Halfway down the slope, Fenner stooped to pick a few daisies. She crumbled some earth in a pause and sniffed it.
This was probably rich, fertile country in some bygone time.
The Dormouse watched her braid the flowers into her tail bush.
Most likely it was, young missy. Maybe those mice who lived round here long ago tended the land and farmed it to keep it that way.
Horty stared about.
Don't see any streams or running water.
Toobledum plucked a daisy stem and chewed on it.
There's underground water at the middle of the valley. I get it cold and sweet from a well down there. Once we crosses the abbey boundary, I'll take you to it.
They carried on downhill. When the Dormouse was almost on level ground, he kicked aside some long grass and shrubbery.
See her? That's the top of the old boundary wall. Must have collapsed and been buried in the long ago when the ground used to dance and shake.
He exposed a line of coping stones, each one decorated with a skillful carving of a mouse. Toobledum straightened up, arching his back as he gestured around the valley bottom.
If you take the trouble and you're fond of digging, you can follow it all around in a big square. Never bothered myself, except when I need stones for my house. Right then, come on one and all, don't shilly-shally, 'tis lunchtime.
They followed the old Dormouse into a grove of stunted knobbly trees, stopping as they reached a rickety hut, a rambling structure, knocked together from odds and ends of stone, timber and debris. Toobledum announced proudly,
Well, this is it, one and all, me little home. Me and Bubba wouldn't trade it for a palace.
He set about lighting a fire beneath a rock slab oven, which stood outside the front door. Bubbub frisked happily about as the old Dormouse sang.
All round and round the land ye well may roam, lots of places I have rambled far and near. But there ain't no nicer nest than me old home. 'Tis so comfy and we loves it oh so dear. The moment that we gets here, me and me little mate, we lights a fire and puts the kettle on. Though we ain't got much to eat, we gets along just great, 'cause two can live here just as well as one.
Bragoon had a quiet word with Horty.
Give him all we can spare from the rations. Make it a lunch to remember for the old beast and Bubbub.
The young hare saluted smartly.
To hear is to obey, old wise Ottersar. I'll make it a spread that none of us will forget.
Fenner blew a sigh.
As long as you don't serve us fried fruit salad again.
Horty began rummaging through their meagre supplies.
Pish tosh, miss. I shall treat that remark with a blinking contempt it belly well deserves. What?
He did, however, cook a very passable meal. Drawing water from the Dormouse as well, Horty produced a tasty vegetable soup and some scones and honey, with pennycress and comfrey cordial to wash it down. Saro ate it with relish, but could not resist a wry remark.
Tastes good, but I ain't even going to ask what's in it.
Horty licked honey from his paws and reached for another scone.
Just as well, really, ma'am. Wild frogs wouldn't drag the recipe from me. We cooks have our secrets, you know.
Toobledum and Bubbub did the lunch full justice. Springald was astounded at the amount the little lizard ate. The Dormouse just laughed at Bubbub's appetite.
Proper little famine fares, ain't he?
Bragoon began questioning Toobledum, warming to the aim of their quest.
This spot we're searching for, it's a grave, I think. Listen to these few lines, mate, and see if you can throw any light on them. Beneath the flower that never grows, Sylvaticus lies in repose. My secret is entombed with her. Look and think what you see there. I want you to pay attention, Tubaldum. Do you know any place hereabouts that sounds like what I've just said?
The Dormouse pulled down his hat brim, muttering darkly.
That'll be the dead place. Oh, we never goes over there, do we, mate?
Bubub snuggled tight against the Dormouse and shook his head. Springall pursued the inquiry.
Why ever not? The dead never hurt any beast, and I wager those buried there have been dead long before you were born.
Tubaldum shook his head.
Say what you likes, miss, but there's nights when the wind blows, and I've heard a moaning.
Horsey took a light view of this sinister statement.
Maybe they get jolly hungry down there. Come on, old scout, hop on your hankers and show us where the old graveyard is, what?
The Dormouse refused flatly.
I ain't going nowhere near that place. You can go and see it for yourselves. Walk south across the valley until you see flat stones. They're all laid this way and that. You can't miss them. That's the burying garden. I think it was once inside the old abbey. I've only been there once, and I ain't going there again nohow.
Leaving the Dormouse and his lizards, the five travellers set out following his directions. The ancient burying place was quiet and peaceful in the noontide sun. A few bees hummed and grasshoppers chirruped on the still warm air. Sorrow sat down on one of the flat stones and looked about.
Nice old spot, ain't it? Sort of a garden of memories.
Fenner brushed the dust from a lopsided oblong of limestone.
See what this says? Sister Ethnilla, victim of the great sickness, gone to the sunny slopes and silent streams.
Bragoon traced a paw across the graven words.
Poor creature. There must be a lot of her kind buried here. Sunny slopes and quiet streams, eh? I like that.
Springall and Horty were inspecting the stones further afield. The young hare's voice interrupted the otter's reverie.
I say, you chaps, what was the name we were looking for? Civileticus or some such? I think I found it. Yahoo!
Bragoon sprang upright as Horty's yell disturbed the peace.
What's that lop-eared noise bag up to now?
Springall was shouting.
Over here, quick! Horty's fallen down a grave!
They dashed over to where the mouse maid was hopping about agitatedly as she pointed to a yawning dark hole.
Down there! He's fallen right through! One moment he was standing, pointing to this big stone, then something broke and he vanished!
The otter pulled her aside.
Stand clear, miss, or you might be the next one to disappear.
He called down into the pitch-black space.
Horty! Are you all right, mate?
There was no reply. Just a faint echo of his own voice.